Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
My mission is simple: to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Other people want to make friends? I'm just trying to make some money. My job is not just to entertain, but to teach, put it in context, educate. Call me at 1-800-743-CNBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. You know what we want? We want a normal stock market that trades on traditional metrics. How about earnings? How the sales? How's the sector? What happens if the Fed raises rates? Who knows? But even on a crazy day like today, where tech let us down before rebounding, while the rest of the market stayed down, the Dow sinking 474 points, S&P losing 0.87%, NASDAQ finished the session off just 0.09%. Nice recovery there from the lows. We keep acting like this is a usual time. This is anything but usual. I mean, think about it. We're living in the shadow of a pandemic. Only about 35% of the country has been fully vaccinated. We celebrate the fact that fewer than 40,000 people caught COVID in America yesterday. That's still really bad. If we had seen a number like that during the first wave of infections, we'd still be in lockdown. When we saw numbers like that at the end of September, we were in panic mode. The truth is, we just got used to the pandemic. And of course, there are far fewer deaths because there's more ways to treat the virus. Plus, we've got the hope of herd immunity as more people get the vaccine. But COVID's still very much with us. Meanwhile, our efforts to combat COVID and get the economy roaring again have created some incredibly unusual circumstances. We still have what might be some to be considered overly generous unemployment benefits that make it hard for businesses to find workers. We have to pay $22 an hour at my restaurant to match what unemployment benefits can give you. And we can't afford it. We just have to close. People apply for work as they're supposed to, but then they don't even show for the appointment. Why not? It's hard for businesses to adjust to a world where the workers can just do fine without a paycheck. We've got eviction freezes. Hundreds of thousands of businesses have closed. We still don't know what the protocol is for anything. Mask or no mask, test or no test, cruise or no cruise. Will we be compelled to take a vaccine? Will they pass take a vaccine? Do we have to take a vaccine? I don't know. Who knows? Do you know? So it's possible that many of the national numbers, like the Labor Department's non-farm payroll report last Friday, could be completely distorted. Plus, the reopening trade that everyone loves is all about the expectation that the vaccines will stay positive, working, fighting against COVID. And that the COVID variants are crushed. And we can actually go somewhere, anywhere, that's actually open. When we have a situation that is as confusing as this one, I like to turn away from the government data and go directly to the business people I trust who've done so much to stem this pandemic. People like Robert Ford, the CEO of Abbott Labs. This is the company that pioneered antigen testing for COVID. They make all sorts of proprietary devices for diabetes, the heart, the brain, among so many other organs. Abbott can help us make sense of the moment so that we can develop a worldview that puts things in perspective. I spoke to Robert Ford at CNBC's Healthy Returns event earlier. Take a look. I happen to have in front of me Binax Now, two tests. I've used it. Why have I used it? Because I went out of the country and I wanted to know that I was okay. I want to know, Robert, as we get more and more vaccinated, will we be using Binax Now less, or is it going to be a fact of our life no matter what? We're going to find it at Walgreens and CVS and stockpile.
Well, listen, from the beginning, as you know, we went all in. And we went all in, Jim, because we knew that, you know, we had a responsibility to develop the, you know, using our diagnostic leadership to develop the test, not only for pandemic phase, but also for vaccine phase. You know, if we're going to rely solely on vaccine, which I think we've done an amazing job from the development to the rollout. But if we rely solely on it, there, you know, it's not as complete as you would like. You know, whether it's the penetration rate of vaccines, we know that some states have higher rates than others. The longevity, we still have to learn a little bit more about how the booster strategy is going to play into this, and then mutants. So we always believed that COVID was going to be part of it, and testing was going to be part of it. So, but not the testing that we remember from a year ago, right? You know, in your car for 4 hours. $150, wait 4 or 5 days, right? What you're holding up in your hand is where we see that complementarity to the vaccine strategy, which is, you know, rapid testing at affordable price, which is accessible to everybody. And that all comes together where together with the vaccine rollout, we'll be in a better spot to get back to normal. I think a lot of progressive companies that want to get back their employees back to the office, schools with kids, hotels with guests, I mean, you name it, hotel leisure, you know, to think about buying these tests and providing them free of charge to your employees is definitely a way to kind of augment your strategy of bringing everybody back and opening up vaccines plus testing.
Okay, well, let's talk about something even bigger. It's a coalition that you created. This is the Abbott announces its Pandemic Defense Coalition, a global network of expert collaborators designed to help prevent future pandemics, currently searching for COVID-19 variants. Now, Robert, I didn't know this, but when the Federal Reserve surveyed money managers, the thing that they are most worried about is the variants. Are we overdoing it, or are we absolutely right to be worried that that could derail the economy even?
Well, I think you have to. I think what we've always taken a view here is that, you know, because of our experience in infectious disease testing, we have a group, we call them the virus hunters, Jim, and they're constantly looking. They're constantly looking for new viruses. And in this case, we set up a team to be able to monitor all the mutations that could exist. And I think if we're ahead of it, if we put the resources in place and we partner, because it can't just be a U.S. thing, you have to partner with all the countries, all the universities, all the different collection sites, then I think that's the way to go. If we just sit back and say, okay, it's done, it's played its course, then yeah, then we should be worried. But I think if we're working proactively to monitor, to chase these mutant these mutations, I think that's the way to do it. And we've been in this business, you know, for, you know, over 4 decades doing this. So this is the way to do it. It is a broad coalition, and our scientists are on top of this.
Is it coordinated well with the government? I find that the government is really the NIH. It's the FDA. It's the CDC. And I'm never sure who to listen to.
Well, listen, any response like this, you have to coordinate against with all agencies here in the U.S., but even with other governments. So we're working with, you know, we work with the FDA, we work with the NIH, we work with other academic institutions outside the United States in other markets. And that's how you got to do it.
All right. So let me get to something that is a sensitive topic in my house. My wife got the J&J. I got the Moderna. She only had the shot once. I had two. But it looks like from the percentages that I'm going to be in better shape than her. Should she be testing much more because she got the J&J, which is, on a percentage base, known to be less effective?
I would say I wouldn't make a distinction between testing depending on the vaccine that you've had. I think what the industry has done on the vaccine that is incredible. And I think that, as I said, you know, you could still carry the virus. You could still, you know, you could still transmit it to other people that haven't taken the vaccine. So I think just, you know, easy, frequent testing, like the product that you've holed up, I think that's the way to go about it, independently of which vaccine you've taken.
And when you're in a crowd, maybe go overseas, take them with you, right?
I mean, that's the other thing. I think the CDC is now allowed for you to be able to take these antigen tests overseas and then test them and then show that result of proof to be able to kind of come back into the U.S. So that's another great step forward. And again, you could probably stop by the pharmacy near the airport, or soon you might be able to see these in airports. Binex now is around 20,000 pharmacies in the U.S. We'll probably get to 30,000 by the end of this week, Jim. So there's going to be plenty of availability of tests.
Well, you guys are pros when it comes to testing. And those of us who had kids who played sports, or us, we didn't even know about it. But concussions, you have got something that tests for concussions, which we think many people who've been involved in sports are the bane of high school sports and junior high sports. Where are we with this?
So it's interesting. All during COVID, we're doing everything with COVID testing, but then we also have all of our pipeline, and what our scientists were able to do to keep the pipeline going was spectacular. And one of those key products was a rapid test to be able to detect mild concussions or traumatic brain injuries. Our team was able to identify the two proteins that get produced when you have a traumatic brain injury, and we've been able to develop a test for it. This is the actual instrument that it'll go into. The current test we have, Jim, is actually, it uses plasma. So you take the sample of blood, you then got to prepare that sample and then put it into the test. We're working on a trial now to be able to do whole blood and with kids. So then you'll be able to prick a finger, put it on the cartridge, on the test, on that instrument I just showed you, and then be able to get the results. And I think that's exactly what's kind of motivated us. If you think about all the elementary schools, high schools, all the colleges, you're talking about 100,000 plus institutions all doing sports. And, the current methodology today is if you think you have a concussion, you get taken out of the game, you then go to a hospital to maybe do a CT scan. With this test, once we develop the right clinical data to be able to support the whole blood indication and be able to do it with kids, you'll be able to kind of do a test in 15 minutes and get the result right there. And if it's negative, then the kid can go back into the game.
That was Robert Ford, the CEO of Abbott. Well, Mad Money tonight, Affirm is all you could ask for from a good fintech story. But with the market firmly against these names right now, is it still worth considering here? I'm sitting down with the CEO of Earnings. Then Roblox just reported for the first time as a public company, and the stock is soaring. I've got the exclusive with the CEO fresh off the earnings. And J2 Global has mounted a remarkable comeback. But could the company behind the likes of RetailMeNot and Mashable continue heading higher? I've got the CEO. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Fact. Running a business is not getting easier on your wallet. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. Also a fact, smart businesses are reducing costs and headaches by graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See how you'll profit with NetSuite, and then you can think of all the ways you could be spending the money you save. Company retreat in Malibu, anyone? By popular demand, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com to start saving.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Even if your tech stocks bounced off their lows today, this group continues to get no respect. Look at Affirm Holdings. It's a promising financial technology play that uses their tech to give consumers installment loans when they're trying to buy things. Affirm came public in January, initially soared from $49 at the IPO price to $90 at the opening, mid-140s at its February highs. But in the 3 months since then, the stock has been relentlessly hammered, and it keeps going down, even on really good news. For example, last night, Affirm reported a genuinely great quarter. This was a clear top and bottom line beat, with much higher than expected sales and a surprise operating profit. Affirm's gross margin volume was up 83% year over year. Even better, they gave incredibly bullish guidance for the next quarter and raised full year numbers. Stocks started ticking up in after hours trading, but then we woke up this morning and Affirm shares got crushed along with the rest of tech. Well, put it this morning, it was down 18%. I mean, come on, a new all-time low. When tech rebounded this afternoon, Affirm was able to make a comeback, although the stock still finished down nearly 3% for no particular reason, except that it's out of style at this moment on Wall Street. As long as you're patient, I think this one is worth picking on weakness, but don't take it from me. Let's check in with Max Levchin. He's the founder, chairman, and CEO of Affirm Holdings to get a better read on the quarter and where his company's headed. Mr. Levchin, welcome back to Mad Money.
Thank you so much for having me.
Max, it's been too long. By my count, 5 years, and you've been up to some great things. But in particular, I want to hear about Affirm in your own words so people can understand the value proposition for the consumer and the merchants can understand the value proposition for their books.
Super simple. Basically, if you're a consumer and you're tired of paying late fees and trying to read the fine print that the credit cards are trying to stick you with just to figure out how they're going to make money on you, choose Affirm. We are an alternative to credit cards. We're integrated in all kinds of exciting merchants all over the web. You can also use our app, and that opens it up to all merchants out there entirely. And we treat you right. We will not charge you a late fee. Been around for 10 years, never made a penny in late fees, never done anything gimmicky or tricky. It's a great way to pay for things online from, you can use it at Walmart. You can buy a Peloton with it. And on the merchant side of the equation, it's a really, really powerful way of driving incremental transactions. There's plenty of consumers, especially young ones, that have put down the credit cards and decided that they're going to just understand the personal finances. Pay for things over time is great, but not if you're revolving, not if you have compounding interest. And that is exactly the alternative that we are. And so consumers use Affirm when they want honesty and transparency, and merchants get more incremental buyers that seek that as they consider the purchases.
When we think of honesty and transparency on the merchant side, we do think of Shopify. They've been a frequent guest on our show. They could pick anyone, obviously, to affiliate. They picked you. How is that relationship going?
It's great. I'm actually very, very excited. So just yesterday, I had to correct myself. So we have an exclusive partnership with Shopify, and we've been testing all the technology, all the plumbing between two companies for about a year. We're just about to bring it to GA next month. And in the last 30 days, we start to slowly bring on some of the merchants on Shopify. And so in a press release, I said 10,000 merchants are alive and are very excited to go. But between the time I drafted the press release and the earnings call, it went up by another 2,500. So it was 12.5. And the number keeps growing. So we are very, very excited about this. This is something I've been waiting for and building towards for quite some time.
Well, leaps and bounds, and it makes plenty of sense. And the merchants are incredible, including Walmart, the largest merchant. They've been with you pretty much forever, haven't they?
Yeah, it's been a great partnership. We're very, very proud of our relationship with them for quite some time now.
Now, I wanted to ask you, some people were saying to me, look, be careful on this one. Once things open up, people are not going to be shopping at home, not going to use a firm. But I think the best measure of the opening is travel and leisure. And when I looked at the numbers for travel and leisure, I had to believe that you are an opening trade as well as a closed trade.
That's exactly right. In fact, here's a cool stat. So we grew 50% year on year. And so this is really important. The quarter we just reported is still being compared to the pre-COVID quarter. So travel was growing pretty well if you go pre-pandemic. And then, and of course, it collapsed. And so the 50% growth year on year is pretty great. But if you compare the sort of a last quarter to the one we're reporting, it's tripled. And so travel is just experiencing incredible secular growth as a sector, and we're right there with it. We announced partnership with Icon, which is a ski pass provider. We have Vrbo as one of our customers. We announced American Airlines most recently. Delta Vacations is another customer of ours. We're really primed to take advantage of the recovery of travel and ticketing in particular. On the flip side, though, what's really cool is that we just trained a huge percentage of Americans that buying things online is actually completely okay. My mom is well into her 70s, and boxes have now been coming to her door for the last year. And I don't think she's going to quit. I think online shopping is going to be much more of a thing. We basically took a 20% leap, and we're not walking back from that. So we're well primed to take advantage of both online and offline commerce.
Now, buy now, pay later, Klarna, PayPal, feel getting too crowded. Can you distinguish enough with your technology that you're not concerned about profit margins?
You know, I think we're quite unique. We are first and foremost a technology company, exactly as you just pointed out. And we go where others can't because we can build solutions. I think it's great to be a marketing company. It's great to be a sales-driven company. And so wonderful. But fundamentally, partnerships like Walmart and Shopify come because we can scale with the largest partners and build the best solution, something that really, really fits to build for them. That said, there's actually a lot of room in this market. BNPL is the single largest, single fastest growing piece of payments worldwide, and yet it's still just under 2% of overall e-commerce. So I think we have a lot of room to grow, you know, for everyone. Obviously, I'm biased. I think we'll win, but there's a lot of commerce to still bring.
One last question. There was noise on the call, which was about Peloton, which actually is a great company. And I know, Mr. Foley, I think it's a terrific company. Obviously, they had a misstep, you know, and it's tragic what happened. But I did not sense that I should be thinking about Peloton hurting a firm, even though it's a big percentage of your business. And you had to asterisk it. I just need to know, should I be worried if Peloton's sales turn down?
No. So I think you're exactly right. So first of all, it is tragic, and I am very saddened for what happened. But I do think that Peloton is taking the issue right head on, and John is really stepping up to do what's right. And so I'm very thankful for what they've done for us as a business, and I think its partnership has been incredible for many years, and they're just fine. They make great products, and they'll do what's right, and we'll be right there with them. That said, we've stated everything about the financial expectations. We'll see. They're fairly de minimis. It's not going to have a material impact on us, and we're very bullish on a partnership going forward. I think you should not be worried about Peloton.
All right, excellent. I that is my concurrence. But if I didn't bring it up, I think people would say, come on, Jim. Anyway, Max, on any other day, I think we would have known what happened. The stock would have had a big move. So Max Levchin, the founder, chairman, CEO of Affirm, a product that we like very much. And it's good to see you back on the show, sir.
Thank you so much. I'd love to come back anytime you'll have me.
Now, look, I mean, the market doesn't like these stocks today, but you know that it could be tomorrow that people realize the growth that this company has. Man, money's back in.
Coming up, welcome to Metaverse. Kramer sits down with a company at the vanguard of one of Wall Street's hottest trends. Next.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX. Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, The ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Look at Roblox run. This has been a brutal market for high growth tech stocks, right? Especially ones that recently came public. But you know what? There's one that it isn't brutal for. Roblox. It's turning things around. This is a company that makes digital tools that help people design their own games. They got a whole platform where you can share them and it's beloved by children. Oh, man, I can't believe when I ask around, this is the game. That's the platform, I should say. When Roblox reported last night, the first quarter as a publicly traded company, they knocked it out of the park on every single key metric: bookings, daily active users, hours engaged, cash flow. Plus, they're going to give you monthly updates. It turns out that April numbers were pretty darn good, too. I liked their whole style, their letter. It was so clean. Stock shot up more than 20% today. It's now back above where it started trading on the day of its direct listing in March. Can it keep climbing? I know the answer, but we're going to hear from the founder and the chairman and CEO, Dave Baszucki. He is just putting together an amazing company. Mr. Baszucki, welcome to Mad Money.
Jim, hey, thanks for having us on the show. It's a pleasure to be here. And we want to reach out to everyone in our community who's still struggling with COVID. It's a big day for us, but we do want to acknowledge that everyone's having a bit of a tough time out there.
Well, I'm glad you put it out. I mean, because your communications with shareholders are heartfelt. And addressing issues like COVID right up front, you could have talked about your numbers. They're the best I've seen. But you also have larger issues. But I do, because it is Mad Money, want to say that you have the fastest growth of any publicly traded company I know.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim. Well, every day, 43 million people come to our platform to play, to learn, to connect. We believe this is an amazing way for people to come together. And we've seen a lot of that over the last year as people haven't been able to come together in the real world.
There are a lot of people who tell me, Jim, this is going to end when things open. I couldn't be more convinced that in this particular case, people discovered, and if anything, judging by, like, say, the concert, the live concert that you had, judging by the engagement where people are just discovering it by the day, that it turns out that we're very early in the infancy of what is a great secular trend of Roblox.
Yeah, we believe this is in a new emerging category that brings people together in a civil society, not just to play, but ultimately to learn together, to work together, to experience entertainment together. And over the last year, we saw more than play. We saw people connecting. We saw people hosting birthday parties. We hosted a lot of concerts that are amazing. So as you know, it's very early in what this emerging category is.
Yeah, it's funny. I was with my trainer whose daughter loves it. Okay. And I said, well, is it safe? And he said, well, yeah, look, as far as an atmosphere that you could be online, it's the safest I've seen. And I know you guys work hard to keep it that way.
Yeah, we lean in hard. Safety is our top priority. And we have an optimistic view that when done right, we can foster civility. So we're optimistic that our platform can help make the world a more civil place by what people learn on our platform.
Now, talk to me about the about Roblox. Roblox seems to me, if my children were younger and they were good, rather than giving them an allowance or giving them money, I'd be buying them this. I'd be buying them extra. And that's apparently what parents are doing.
Yeah, it's exciting because we've created a virtual economy powered by over 8 million creators who are making everything on Roblox, all the experiences, the avatars, the clothing. It's all created by these creators. Robux is the way these creators turn their hobbies into large businesses, studios with 40 or 50 people. And we're excited that there's a lot of progression from learning to hobbyist to small developer and ultimately to large studio on our platform powered by this virtual currency.
Now, but it's important to talk about, you're just talking about something from 1989. People think this thing came out of nowhere. And you have worked forever to be able to address issues that I like this. I'm going to use the term. You're going to explain it to me. Two terms, metaverse and human co-experience. I came across these in your documents, but I need help. What are they?
Yeah, we don't. First off, there's a lot of sci-fi writers, futurists, authors who've been talking about this for a long time, whether it's the metaverse or human co-experience platform. But it is ultimately the vision that people will come together to learn, play, and work in immersive 3D environments. These environments will become more and more realistic. They'll become a great way to connect. We'll have an education in addition to reading and watching videos. Students will go to ancient Rome together and experience ancient Rome. Schools will have sister cities around the world. We're prototyping our Roblox town halls in Roblox as a way to connect. So it's really early on this, what this platform and technology we believe can bring.
Well, I do think that there'll be people who say how much Roblox will be used when everyone's out there playing games, when everyone's out there running around. But I look at it as the replacement of TV. That, yes, people are going to do exercise and they're going to read books, but they will use TV less and Roblox more.
We want COVID to end. We want everyone to get outside, get back to normal and be outside and do all that great stuff. What's really interesting about metaverse experience is they're not just consumed, they're interactive. So instead of watching the video about ancient Rome, you and I would go there, we'd feel what it's like. And these experiences are going to get more and more realistic as the technology advances and as computing power increases.
Well, I got to tell you something, Dave. I think that portfolio managers who don't have kids don't know the stock. Portfolio managers whose kids have grown up don't know the stock, which is why I am so confident that your stock is going to go up substantially, that I picked your stock in the CNBC stock contest, because I am convinced that as people who don't have kids or people who have grandchildren know about this and your kids, you're reaching the older audience, this is one that's just going to gain steam over time. I'm not kidding, Dave. I really feel very strongly. I would not have picked this as the best stock that you have between now and the Super Bowl, which is the length of time that we have. You've got a big runway.
Jim, out of respect to you and appreciation for your show, I have to say.
You are too much. Well, look, I thank you for selecting our show. You can go anywhere, but you knew I love your company. And I think what you're doing is fabulous, Dave. I really do.
Thank you, Jim. And thanks to our community.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a real community. And everyone's got to check it out. Dave Baszucki, founder, chairman, and CEO of Roblox. That's RBLX. Thank you so much. Guys, I know it sounds strange that a stock could be up 10, 11, and I'm telling you to buy it. I'm telling you to buy it. You have money back in.
Coming up, after turning in a sparkling earnings report, can the magic continue for J2 Global? Kramer's got the CEO next.
When the economy booms, so does advertising, especially now that the travel and leisure cohort is back in business. Look at J2 Global, the digital media company with a cloud services kicker. You might recognize them from some of their brands, IGN, Mashable, Humble Bundle, RetailMeNot, Everyday Health, and Spiceworks, among so many others. J2 is in the process of spinning off part of their cloud business as more of a secure data exchange for the healthcare industry. I like them both here. But what we care about more is this core digital media business, because J2 Global gets the bulk of its revenue from advertising. Its stock has been on fire, more than doubling from its lows last July. And we know business is good because last night the company reported yet another blowout quarter. Third in a row, tremendous 52-cent earnings beat off $1.66 basis, higher than expected sales, and management raised their guidance for good measure. Now, in response to stock rally, $3, though I think it would have been up more if we had gotten not one of the worst days of the year. So let's dig deeper with Vivek Shah. He's the CEO of J2 Global. Learn more about the quarter and his vision for the future. Mr. Shah, welcome back to Mad Money.
It's great to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
All right, so Vivek, First, the company's doing so well. I'm going to ask the obvious question. Why do you have to split it in two? I love what you're doing.
Well, look, Jim, we've got two great companies here. We've got an HCIT company, which is the spin co called Consensus. And then we have the Remain Co, J2, which is a great internet business. And honestly, I think they're both underappreciated. And I think part of the reason they're underappreciated is that they're inside of one company. By splitting them into two, we give them dedicated management, dedicated focus, their own balance sheets, and two investable companies with a clear set of peer groups. And so I think this is going to create a tremendous amount of value. And I think it's great to do it from a position of strength.
You know, I get that. I mean, you did have a nearly 40% growth for your digital media segment. And I want to see that pure. I want that pure play. That's the fastest of the ones I follow in digital advertising.
Absolutely. And I think, look, I think the forces of digitization have never been stronger and they map really well to the portfolio of the company.
You see, I didn't think yesterday we had a bunch of people saying that we have the peak in online. And I think that you would tell me, since I've known you for a long time, that's actually probably a false narrative.
I think it's a false narrative. And I think the report you're referencing, I think, was talking more about the multiple expansion that's taken place
Correct.
In parts of the industry. Unfortunately, we haven't participated in that yet.
Not yet.
So we're posting the performance and the results, and hopefully the valuation starts to catch up.
Okay, let's talk about Consensus for a moment, because one of the things that I have to tell you, Vivek, I didn't believe it until I read deep into yours, because there was a raid against you, Schwartz. You just said, Jim, look, well, let me do the numbers, and then we'll see what happens to the stock, which is the way to approach these things. But one of the things that I said was, like, a fax business? I mean, yeah. A fax business, but it turns out that that fax is the way that some people do things still.
No, look, and remember, this is a cloud fax and digital fax business at Consensus, which we're spinning off, which is not the machine and physical paper-based business that you may know. If you think of it differently as a document transfer business, where medical documents need to move in a HIPAA-compliant and secure fashion, this business does that. And what it's replacing are on-prem solutions. So view it, Consensus in the near term, to me, is really a play on the shift from on-prem to cloud. Longer term, where the company is really focused is going from a document-centric to a data-centric construct, right? When we say medical records today, that's often a document. What Consensus is trying to do is turn that into data and then make that data freely available and movable across the entire healthcare ecosystem. It's an exciting company, does $340 million of revenue. It has margins of around 55%, great free cash flow. It's going to do very well on its own.
Now, you have a history of doing M&A, and I like you're doing M&A. There are some people who are saying, oh, he's doing that M&A again, but Vivek Shah may be the best M&A guy I've ever met. I want you to do M&A. Are there still prospects out there?
Absolutely. So, you know, part of what we're doing here is to ensure that the company that I'll run, the Remain Co., which is the internet business, the digital media business, will be well capitalized to continue on our programmatic and systematic approach to M&A. We have a total growth mindset, which means we're going to put capital to work to grow organically, as well as to acquire businesses where we feel we have a unique path to creating value. As you know, Jim, we've been very good at monetizing audiences. I think we've done it in places and in ways that others haven't. And we think it's a playbook that we can continue to run against acquisitions in the verticals we're in, as well as verticals that we'd like to get into. Any high value vertical where we can get valuable audiences that show real intent is where we'd like to be focused.
For those who are deeply involved in this, and I think there are many, you've got an interesting breakdown. Your performance marketing was the biggest, 47%, subscription only 22%, display 30-some. Do you want to be subscription bigger? A lot of people tell me subscription's a better business.
Look, I look at it as recurring revenues. And so if you look at all three of those, they're highly recurring. So we have, and so there's a great deal of predictability, a great deal of stability in those businesses. So I don't have a favorite amongst the mix. I think the most important point is that we have a mix. So we're not a single monetization internet company. We are a multiple monetization internet company. So the ability to extract multiple rents from our audiences will always be core to what we do. Certainly at some periods of time, some will perform better than others, but having that diversification, I think, is the most important part.
Well, you put together an empire, and it's just going to grow and grow. And look, people are going to want both pieces, frankly, but for different mindsets. Vivek Shah, CEO of J2 Global, well done, sir.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Yeah. Remember, someone took a very big shot at these guys. It was unfair. And all they did, they didn't want to come on and explain themselves. They just said, let's do the numbers and see what happens. Well, I see what happens. You get $120 stock. Man, money's back in the break.
Just chill out.
Is this Chill Master J?
The Chill Man is in the house. He's happy.
The lightning round is coming up when Mad Money returns.
It is time. It's time for the light round. And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready? Keep that down. The lightning round. We're going to start with David in Michigan. David.
Booyah, Mentor Kramer. It's good to see you back in the set.
Good deal. Love it being here. What's up?
Oh, my stock has been crashing since dinosaurs roamed the earth, and I'm wondering what in the world is going on with Broadcom, AVGO.
Oh, look, we own it for Action Alerts. I mean, you know, look, it's a high multiple stock. It's got a lot of people spooked because it does make parts for Apple. People worried about Apple. I think that's crazy. It's supported by a dividend. It's got great management. We decided on our conference call that I'm going to do Thursday for the club that we're going to bless it. We just think it's too cheap to sell. And this is FractionalEdgePlus.com, my travel trust. So I'm holding on. Let's go to Joshua in New Jersey. Joshua.
Booyah, Jim.
Booyah.
How you doing, buddy? I'm doing great today. That was such a great thing, and you're making it even better.
I'm doing great. So, I'm doing great. What's up? I got a lot of I do a lot of PT at 3:30 in the morning. What's going on?
Yeah, I see you up early, and then you're up late at night still doing shows. I don't know how you do it.
I got a lot to do. I got to accomplish. I don't have a lot of time. What's going on?
All right, CCJ, I'm looking at uranium, looking at mining. I'm trying to think outside the box here.
Every periodically we get these, like cicadas, there's a cycle of uranium. It's like we've got a uranium cycle going. I have to tell you, I think that you want to hop off the uranium cycle at a certain point, but I recognize the need to play these things, and thank you for the kind words. Now let's go to AJ in New York. AJ.
Booyah, Jim.
Booyah.
Hope the show, hope family does too, and they're all watching now. They're all coming up on Saturday for my graduation from SUNY Oswego, so this is a great way to start the week.
Because younger people watch this show, and we are thrilled. What's going on?
Jim, my question for you is about Contour Brands. I bought back in November. I'm up about 97%.
Oh, I love Contour Brands because I am a denim believer. I'm going to throw in Levi's. I think both of them. No, I'm making a threesome. I'm going to throw in Gap stores. All of them work. I like your style. Now I want to go to Michael in Maryland. Michael.
Hey, Jimbo. It's Michael from Whiskey Bottom, Maryland. Booyah.
Whiskey Bottom. It's a new city for me. What's going on?
Quick question. I was into EVs, and I heard you talking about Hennessy Capital a while back. So I went ahead and purchased some at about 17.28. It's gone down a lot. I purchased some more in at 7.83. Is this a hold, or is this just dead money?
Dead money. Dead money. Got to be honest. Could have a little spike the way the wood stocks did today, but, you know, got to be very careful because, to me, it sounds like that button. I need to go to Amy in Connecticut. Amy!
Hi, Jim. I'm a longtime listener and an Action Alert member.
Yes, join me on the call Thursday.
Mexican Grill.
Thank you. What's up?
I want to know about Chipotle Mexican Grill.
Okay, everyone is dumping on Chipotle because Chipotle had to raise the workers' wages from 13 to 15. If there was a place on earth that could pass on those costs, it's going to be CMG. I think the stock's a buy. It's the best run, and I trust them. I would buy Chipotle. I need to go to David in New York. David!
Hey, Jim. Big booyah.
Booyah back.
So I'm calling today about Discovery, Inc.
Right.
I bought it right after the Archegos sell-off there. I got it at about $42 a share.
Okay.
And since then, it's gone down.
Right. Well, remember, 11. You know, David, we don't care where a stock is come from. We care where it's going to. And I think Discovery's just okay. I'm going to say it's just okay. Like Viacom is just okay. These are just okay. And that's not enough for me to say buy a stock. I need to go to Robert in Florida. Robert.
Hey, Big Jim. Booyah.
Hey, Robert. What's up?
I wanted to ask you about ET Energy Transfer. I've had it for a month, and after this whole pipeline fiasco.
Robert, they're all going up. You happen to be in the one that is the biggest. It's not my favorite. I like Kinder Morgan, KMI, and I like Enterprise Product Partners. But yours is working too. The whole group is working, and it's being brought up by an ETF that has all pipelines. And everyone's buying them, and that's why you can stay long it, but I prefer you to be in the best of breed. I need to go to Greg in Florida. Greg!
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
I am good, Greg. How about you?
Great. Thank you for asking. I love your energy.
Thank you.
I was calling on Ally Financial.
What a horse that thing is. And you know what? It's still the cheapest financial. I wouldn't sell it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade. Coming up, stocks stop at zero, but we'd prefer they not get there. Cramer checks in on the beleaguered tech sector next.
People keep asking me, when is tech on bottom? When will the pain stop?
The House of Pain.
When can they make a comeback? I always say the same thing. Let the stocks tell you. Let them be your guide. So how do you hear what the tech stocks have to say? Well, today the action spoke volumes. This morning, a slew of tech stocks got crushed at the opening, then they bounced back. But they were the most expensive stocks out there. We're not talking about senior growth names like Apple that now traded almost a market multiple next year's earnings. No, the winners today, they're the equities I call the Wood stocks, in honor of Kathy Wood from ARK Investment. While Wood and her funds own a variety of stocks, the ones she absolutely loves are great companies, just with highly valued stocks, like Spotify, you know, I like that, Twilio Square. While the underlying companies are doing great, their stocks got too high, especially when rates went higher and inflation heated up. And they spent the last few months rolling over. But today's bounce back, it tells me this. It tells me these high-flying tech stocks, in some cases, have come down enough from their highs that you can start some positions. And what am I talking about? Tesla. I think Tesla can be bought here. Something we talked about in last night's Off the Chart segment, because the legendary Larry Williams thinks Tesla's a great Memorial Day play. I think it's more than that. Ideally, of course, you want to buy it close to the holiday. But you got my blessing to start buying right now if you don't have any. Geez, the stock is down huge. However, while you can start building a position and buying them on the way down, I am not ready to call bottom in the Wood stocks. There are a few problems. First, we had really high expectations for PC sales this year, but now we're learning that notebooks have weakened dramatically, and that just kills the entire narrative. If we have lower notebook sales, what's next? Now, these are not Wood stocks, but, I mean, how do you own HP Inc.? I mean, do we need to sell Best Buy? I mean, all kinds of semiconductors go into these laptops, especially processors from Intel and Cramer Fave AMD. The latter is diversifying away from the PC with the acquisition of Xilinx, but Intel has no protection. Now the whole food chain may be at stake. Can we trust Micron? How about Texas Instruments? Can we buy the red-hot semiconductor capital equipment names? Or are they no longer red-hot Applied Materials and Lam Research, the ones that were supposed to make a fortune off the chip shortage? I say not yet. When will they be safe to buy? Not clear. For many of these fast gun and high growth money managers, it's looking like 2022 could be a down year for the companies I just mentioned, and down years are ugly. We'll have to wait to see if some economic numbers on inflation and retail sales spook the bond market, and that would send the Wood stocks down too. Second problem with calling a bottom, as great as the reopening trade has been for retail and travel and homes, the end of the lockdown trade has been a nightmare for tech. Just when the home office has been built out, many companies are saying enough is enough. We aren't going to take your Zoom calls, Woodstock name anymore. Either see us in person or don't see us at all. That's brutal. And no more home offices, please. Third problem, we still got a ridiculous glut of enterprise software and financial tech stocks. There are so many that you can't possibly separate the bad from the good. You just have such a plethora of them that unless a company's got something unique like Roblox, which you heard from earlier, with its loving fan base that's growing exponentially around the globe, with user-generated content for some big gross margins, it can't stand out. We can't make enough Robloxes, which is why the stock shut up 21% today after that quarter. And there are no knockoffs. But maybe there are too many outfits like a firm. Too many companies that use technology to differentiate themselves in pretty much identical ways, even if they are terrific with great management. Just a very crowded pool without a lifeguard. And they keep throwing more stocks in. Plus, again, don't forget, especially you younger investors, if interest rates go higher, no one wants to touch these highly valued stocks that trade on a price-to-sales basis rather than earnings. So when will tech bottom? The answer is you got to take it case by case. And sadly, right now, only so many cases are working, with many more that won't work and some that are just fooling us. Let me put it another way. The Woodstocks got real oversold today and rebounded. But until we get to Memorial Day, I think this part of tech is merely a short-term trade and not an investment. I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise I'll find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you tomorrow. The news with Shepard Smith starts now.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.